Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
I changed up the inflection there.
Did I?
No, I changed up the inflection, could you tell?
Oh, you did? Yeah. I like that.
Thanks.
Keep guessing. I have a very specific memory attached to that song, and I can't remember if I've...
Am I in it?
It's not that big of a thing.
No, I don't know.
Like, so if Kelly Early is listening to this, maybe I should have said her second name. It doesn't matter. She usually does. If not, Dro will be listening.
Either of them will love it.
I'm sure they will. I hope they will. So this song had just come out, and this was the year we were all made redundant from the job we were in. Me and Kelly worked together at the time. And we went to this bar. Was it Drop Dead Twice? It was Drop Dead Twice. And we went because it was like you could like make your own cocktail kind of vibe thing. So we went there anyway, and this was like our meetup after kind of the aftermath. We were all kind of in jobs at this point. I think it was like later in the summer. And I think it was kind of only, or it was, this song's only kind of just starting to come out over here, right?
Right.
And then we didn't realize the karaoke was on this night.
Oh my God.
But there seems to be like people were taking it like very seriously, as you should take karaoke seriously. That's not a slight on them, but like they were taken very seriously. They were kind of like very specific songs being sung. And me and Kelly were like, you know what?
Specific songs being sung.
No, but like it makes sense. So like me and Kelly were like, oh fuck, do you know what? Let's go ruin this for everyone, right? Because Kelly was after getting this massive like Stein, is that what they're called? Of like this weird beer at this point. This was how, like, we'd started early and we were going to end up finishing early, but we were already kind of like very well on. So we were like, right, let's go up and we'll do Old Town Road, right? But they didn't have the Billy Ray Cyrus remix. So they just had the original version, which is like under 2 minutes. And the energy we brought to the room was very different to the energy that like had been there previous. Because as we subsequently learned, it was like a queer LGBTQ karaoke night, and we had just come up there and like sullied it with our antics. And you've never seen someone who worked with us at the time, maybe Orla actually has video footage of us singing aggressively singing the song and kind of dancing. You know me, you know when I have any bit of drink in me, I'm like slut dropping.
Yeah, the hottest person in the room.
You've never seen anyone sexy in your entire life, even
titties
though
like,
there's nothing even remotely physically attractive about me, but like, oh, we are giving you the fantasy. So yeah, when I think about this song, I always think of that. That's my very long-winded story.
That was nice.
I feel like it was funnier if you were there. Kelly definitely has videos, and I'll get her to send them to me. Maybe we'll share them. Maybe on the close friends on Instagram. I don't know if they're fit for public consumption, but
fair.
Anyway.
How are you anyway? How was your weekend?
I'm I'm currently really sweaty. I've done everything for my bed today.
I'm going to take a picture of you because you look like you're sitting on the sun.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. Tell me when you get the photo. How's my weekend? Fine. Oh, have you got it?
They can't hear you because I have headphones in.
Well, the people who are listening can. When they listen to the podcast. Or that are you taking a video? Anyway, my weekend was grand. I did an Instagram live at the Body Shop on Saturday. That was fun with Tara Stewart. We had a good chat. Friday, I recorded an episode of the Unofficial Circle podcast with Seamus. That was very good. If anyone wants to go listen to that.
We love Seamus.
We love Seamus. Big fans of Seamus. We're big fans of Paddy as well. Paddy just couldn't record that night. We're not.
Yeah, we do love Paddy.
Smith. We do love Paddy Smith. Saturday, I did that live. Didn't really do much. Drank a lot of gin. And then Sunday. Oh, tell you what I watched.
What I really, really watched.
Actually, I'll wait and I'll throw it in at the end as like my own little mini bandwagons. But I did watch something and it was good.
Did you put it on your Instagram? Because I already know then.
No, what did I put on my Instagram?
No, I'm just wondering.
No, I haven't put it on my Instagram.
It won't be a surprise to me if you've put it on your Instagram. Is all I'm saying.
I didn't put it on my Instagram.
Okay.
And that was it. What about you?
Yeah. Didn't do a whole lot. I'm trying to think. No. We watched Mamma Mia yesterday and got a takeaway. That was nice. I got a COVID test this morning.
Great.
And my free walk-in COVID test, which I'd recommend. So fingers crossed. Thought I'd be negative. Apparently my mom was like 5% of 18 to 25 year olds are testing positive. And I was like, okay, well, I'm 26, so should be fine.
Oh yeah. The only time it benefits you to not be in the over 25s category on X Factor.
That is the worst thing about turning. Yeah, the worst thing about turning 26 is like being thrown into that 26 to 35 bracket and seeing it physically written down. Not physically, but literally written down.
I was going to say something else there, not about the COVID test. What else did you say?
Mamma Mia, watch takeaways. Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I got the saucy cow at the weekend. They're in Eat Yard. Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. They do like vegan burgers. And you, like, I know people are like, you can't tell. You could, if you were to put that in front of anyone, and you said nothing about it, they'd never tell. It was incredible. It was filthy. And they do waffle fries. I respect any.
I sometimes like to tell. Like the Wow Burger, you can very much tell it's like not meat, but that's what I like about it.
Yeah. I don't really mind like a good, like as long as it tastes nice, I don't really care. Yeah. But my point is just that it was like
so pure. Well made.
It was filthy in the best way. Like
Each Yard are knocking it out of the park. I got a Janet's, obviously, which goes.
I would have ordered Janet's, but Janet's was closed. No offense, Janet. You know I love you, bitch.
She sells out too quickly. You have to get in nice and early.
Yeah. So yeah, those were our weekends. Today we are talking about Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
The man is on the up. I've already talked about my kind of first introduction to him. Do you remember where you were when you heard Old Town Road for the first time?
No, not particularly. I remember like not liking it. I don't think I ever liked that song. I remember being
really?
Like, yeah, like it's just, I don't know. I think I heard it and I was like, this is going to get real annoying real fast. And then
do you stand by that?
I think I don't hate it, but I would never opt to put it on.
So
I think it's
strange.
A bit of like a parody of itself, kind of. It is strange. I do love Billy Ray Cyrus's bit. I don't know, it just all seems a bit stupid to me. I do love Lil Nas X as a character though. I'm just not a fan of that song.
Okay. Interesting. Jeez, we might have a fight on this episode.
We might.
Talk to me about, and to anyone else who's listening who doesn't know him, who is he?
Yep. Absolutely, Fionnuala. This is straight off the Wikipedia page before anyone comes
Great
for me.
Great stuff. Great.
Because that's where all the best information goes. Actually, I was thinking about this today. How do you get a Wikipedia page? Does someone have to write it about you? Or do you do it yourself?
I'm pretty sure you can just make your own Wikipedia page.
Oh, we're not doing that. But if anyone wants to, we'd actually...
I love the way you were asking as if...
I'm not going to make one for ourselves.
I'm not going to make one, but sad. If anyone wants to make one.
If anyone wants to make one, I would only love it if it's just full of lies. Like, if you just make a Wikipedia page, it's just full of, like, ridiculous lies about me and Fanila. That'd be so funny. Anyway, Lil Nas X.
No, but, like, so, sorry. The issue with the Wikipedia page is that anyone can edit it. So, like, they could say anything. They could come on and say, well, this would be a good thing to say, but, like, Bree Brown, born XYZ, has a big badonkadonk.
That's why I was like,
oh, you just want that.
Bree and Fanila host a podcast called Bandwagons. Bree has a fat ass and Fanila has, like, glasses. I don't know.
Why do I get fucking shafted with the astigmatism again? You're a dickhead.
Only because you were just talking about them.
I was going to say something a bit rude, but I won't because I don't think I can't be arsed asking Shane to censor that.
What is it?
No, I'll say it.
Is it going to upset me?
No.
Well, then just say
it's about me. Okay. No, I'm not saying it because my family listen to this.
No, go on, say it.
No, I say it, younger.
Go on.
All right, in the chat. No, I'm not saying it.
Go on.
Big go fat on. Ass of the PH. That was what I was going to say, but that's what we all, that's what our epitaph will say for our Wikipedia page.
Was it about titties?
Just tell me who Lil Nas X is. It wasn't about titties. Just tell me who he is.
Okay. Remind me to come back to that though, because I want to know. Lil Nas X, not his real name, if you can believe it.
No way. Not his good Christian name.
Montero Lamar Hill, born in Lithia Springs, Georgia, a small city outside Atlanta, on April 9th, 1999. That's really hard for me to say with my accents. April 9th, 1999. So happy
God,
birthday,
Lil Nas X. He's such a child. It's not his birthday.
Soon.
What are you talking about? We're recording this on like the 29th.
It's in a week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We're not going to see him before then.
Oh, yeah, sure. We're very busy and so is he.
Yeah. He was
and
named...
Pandemi Lovato.
He was named after the Mitsubishi Montero. Imagine getting named after a car.
I love to be named after...
the Yaris. Yaris Jones.
Chevrolet Kalos. Chevrolet, come in for your dinner now. That's happened. Like, you know, there's people out there.
Punto,
like,
would be a funny name.
Punto. That's what Tony Campbell's son is called, is it not?
Yeah. Harrison Punto Cantwell. That's actually such a big
Yaris.
I love that. Yarrison.
Yarrison.
We should stop. His parents divorced when he was six and he grew up. Firstly, with his mother and grandmother in the Bankheads Courts housing project. And then 3 years later, he moved in with his father, who was a gospel singer in Austell, Georgia. He didn't really want to leave his mom at first. He was like, but he was really grateful for it now because he said, there's so much shit going on in Atlanta. If I had stayed there, I would have fallen in with the wrong crowd. So when he moved in with his dad, he's quoted as saying he started using the internet heavily right around the time when memes started to become their own form of entertainment when he was about 13. Like, I actually can't wrap my head around how young this man is.
It makes me...
Like, he was only 13 when memes were a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make me sad in that kind of way, but it just makes me... Like, it makes me sad for me, personally. Like, it makes me feel quite attacked.
Yeah, there's just... It
like,
doesn't add up.
Yeah.
He spent much of his early teenage years alone and turned to the internet, particularly Twitter, for creating memes that showed his disarming wit and pop culture savvy. And his teenage years also saw him struggling with his coming out to himself as being gay. He prayed that it was just a phase, but around 16 or 17, he came to accept it. He began playing the trumpet in the fourth grade and was first chair by his junior high years, but quit out of fear of looking uncool, which I say, I know so many boys who quit playing musical instruments because they thought it was uncool. As
that
like
makes
a 13
me so
year old.
Sad.
I know. Where was I? I want to see if any of this is relevant. He attended Lithia Springs High School and graduated in 2017, wherein he attended the University of West Georgia for 1 year before dropping out to pursue a musical career. And during that time, he stayed with his sister and supported himself with jobs at Zaxby's restaurants and the Six Flags Over Georgia theme park.
Lit.
And then in September 2019, he went back to his old high school to perform a surprise concert because he's a good guy.
Those videos are very endearing. If you ever see those clips, they're very, very cute.
I don't know if I have.
You'd have come across them in passing, maybe, but you'd be forgiven for not seeing them. But they're kind of coming up again now with the backlash that Call Me By Your Name is getting, which we'll get into. But you'd see them on the Twitter now. They're coming up a lot.
Yeah. He was big into the Twitter, and it was like his hobby as a teenager. He spent large amounts of time online in the hopes of building a following as an internet personality. But he was like unsure what he wanted to do, like creatively.
He was a massive, I'm sure this is literally what you're about to say next, but he was like a huge Nicki Minaj stan, wasn't he? He had like a stan account.
Yeah, that's coming. But he was also like, he was doing Facebook comedy videos, and he was doing them on Instagram as well and Twitter. And like Twitter is where he really felt like he could master it.
Yeah.
And that was the first place where he went viral. As of like right now, he has 5.6 million followers on Twitter, 6.5 million followers on Instagram, and 5.2 million subscribers on YouTube, and over 44 million monthly listeners on Spotify. He also posted comedy videos on Facebook and Vine.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Good old Vine.
But yeah, as you mentioned, he ran a Nicki Minaj fan, or multiple Nicki Minaj fan accounts on Twitter. One of them was called Naz Mirage.
Yeah, I think that was his main one.
Yeah.
He was a barb, as the saying is.
Barb.
Like her fans are barbs. Have you ever seen that meme? Or it's like, again, it's a tweet and it's like, so you're telling me a barb made this wire?
That was funny.
Kills me. Sorry, kills me.
Hey, that account got suspended though, because he was tweet decking all his tweets and like using multiple accounts to make certain tweets go viral, I think.
He's a genius. He is like, we'll get into it more, but that man just gets the internet, because obviously he grew up on it, whatever. But that shit that you like, I'd never even think of that. Like, he was just so embedded in the culture. Like, it's crazy.
He grew up with it. We're all learning as we go, but he like just had it. It was suspended for violating spam policies. And there was a whole like New York Magazine investigation into it. Before he opened another account under Naz Mirai, which is like the same but one letter different.
I
think he denied it for years that he actually owned those accounts up until like very recently.
Yeah, I think this comes into him like his sexuality and him coming out.
Yeah,
I think there was an element of him wanting to, like, he did later admit that he was going to die with the secret of him being gay and everything else. So, and I can imagine like the association, the affiliation with an artist like Nicki Minaj, who has like a very large gay fan base. I feel like that was probably part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So like the media kind of put it all together and called him out for being the owner of those accounts, and then he called the reports like a misunderstanding and denied it all. And then like in May of last year, he admitted in a tweet to being a fan of Nicki Minaj, and he explained why he initially denied it, stating that if people knew he was a fan of hers, they would think he was gay, which is basically what you just said. And the quote is, people would assume if you had an entire fan page dedicated to Nicki, you are gay, and the rap music industry ain't exactly built or accepting of gay men yet. And then on June 17th, 2020, Nicki Minaj responded to him saying, it was a bit of a sting when you denied being a barb, but I understand. Congratulations on building up your confidence to speak your truth. And then he apologized to her, being like, felt so bad, hoping you wouldn't see my denial.
Oh, imagine having like being the biggest fan of someone like that, and you're at this kind of elevated platform now where you know there's like a strong chance they're gonna see it.
Yeah.
And you could be like, I don't know her.
Yeah, or you could like get your platform could bring you to her, but then it would uncover your big secret.
Yeah.
Like in late 2019, Lil Nas X landed on music as a path to success and started writing and recording songs in his closet, which seems to be where everyone does it from. When they're released, like all the big ones started out in their closets.
Yeah.
He adopted the name Lil Nas X, which is a tribute to the rapper Nas. And in late October 2018, he ran across the music that would be Old Town Road. And the rest is history.
The rest is history, but we need to get into Old Town Road because...
Yeah, please do.
There's more to it than I think what people realise. And I kind of knew that, but I've only realised to what extent, like, researching for this episode. So obviously, Old Town Road was like this smash of the summer. I had mentioned that, like, it was originally released as, like, this less than 2 minute song. Then Billy Ray Cyrus jumped on and he did a verse. And then there was, like, loads of other remixes released after that. But, like, its impact and everything that came about it is just totally insane. So it was the number one song on Billboard's Hot 100 chart for 19 weeks. And it broke the record for longest chart reign, which was previously held by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, One Sweet Day, in 1995 to 1996. And then you had Louis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee with Despacito in 2017. And beyond that, it's just like one of the biggest chart hits of all time. As I mentioned there, less than 2 minutes long. Kind of like, I know you may disagree with this, but like it's the strangest earworm ever. And I think it's because it's this mashup of like, it's predominantly hip hop and it is more of a hip hop song than it is a country song. It just has these like country embellishments and like a lot of references to country.
Do you think that's why it did so well? Is because of the country like fusion with rap or whatever.
But this is the thing though, it's interesting the way it went with the charts. So the beat itself was created by a producer called Young Keo. He's in the, you can see him in the music video for Old Town Road. He's a teenager in the Netherlands and he, how the beat came about was he sampled a Nine Inch Nails song called 34 Ghosts 4. And he offered the track in his beat store. He described it as a throwaway beat. He didn't even know it had become a part of the song until he was tagged in a meme about it on Instagram that featured the finished track in December of 2018. So then it was uploaded to SoundCloud that same month. But it didn't really kind of catch on until... it was kind of, it became a thing on TikTok off the back of this TikTok trend. He'd uploaded his own video, Lil Nas X, of the track, featuring clips of Red Dead Redemption 2. It's like this Western video game that people love. But then this Yeehaw challenge came off it as well. So it's basically like, I think this was March 2019. And basically it was where like in one clip you're dressed normally. And then then they find this drink. And like it's yee juice, I think is what they called it on TikTok. Again, don't ask if blame the kids.
Now available in our merch store.
Yeah, drink it up, bitch. They drink it and then they're like, they change into cowboy outfits. And like Old Town Road was the sound associated with it. So like the memes kind of intensified. The song started spreading beyond TikTok. You had people like Justin Bieber posting about the song. The Texas Tech basketball team, Mark Ruffalo. He posted a photo of himself in a cowboy hat, joking about taking his horse down to Old Town Road.
I love that.
It was like very evident that he had arrived at this point. And he'd said, as you mentioned there, when he wrote the song, he was living with his sister and he said he just really wanted to change the situation he was in. He said she was pretty much fed up with me being there. And he said that's where the chorus there came from. It was me saying I want to leave everything behind. Now, as you mentioned, it is like this kind of fusion of country, hip hop, and there are a lot of callbacks to it. So when he uploaded Old Town Road originally to SoundCloud, it was hashtagged as like hashtag country, which people saw as this kind of way to get more listeners because like the country section of SoundCloud is way less competitive than other genres when you think about it. So that's what allowed it to kind of rise faster as well. But with that, it kind of generated controversy because like a lot of the country purists would never consider it country, even though Lil Nas X himself has stated that he was influenced by Young Thug. He has a country tinged album called Beautiful Thugger Girls. There's like hints of Daddy Lessons by Beyonce in it.
Wasn't there controversy about him like being in the country charts even when it was out?
Yeah, this is the thing. So like this was at a point in time because sure, we did an episode on it about how country music was kind of having this moment in terms of kind of bit more like you're seeing it in more kind of popular culture, whatever. You had like Casey Musgraves, who talked about it in that episode. There was this term coined by Brie Malandro. They called it like the Yeehaw agenda, which they said was like this point of like Old Town Road at its peak, this rise in the country western style. And this is where, as you said, the kind of things got messy with the charts, because obviously like genres are really fluid and whatever else, but like people, and especially kind of industry people, love to pigeonhole artists. So while initially the song debuted at the top of Billboard's Hot Country chart, it was greeted with criticism, as I said, from certain corners of the country music press, not everyone, and it ended up being removed from the chart. Billboard said at the time in a statement to Rolling Stone, upon further review, it was determined that Old Town Road by Lil Nas X does not currently merit inclusion on Billboard's country charts. When determining genres, a few factors are examined, but first and foremost is musical composition. While Old Town Road incorporates references to country and cowboy imagery, it does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version. There's a really good piece, and I won't get into it all now because it's like it's very long. But it's on psmag.com, and the article is called "What is Musical Genre Exactly?" And it's by a guy called Jack Denton. And he goes into like how he interviews a couple of musicologists and kind of gets into how it came to be and like the gatekeeping around it and whatever. And it's in, I'll just read a bit about it here because I think the start of this was so interesting. So like prior to recorded music and like the industry, music and genre was sorted by function. So you had like your religious music or your like liturgical music for mass. And that's obviously separated from secular music. Then you had like chamber music for palace chambers, obviously opera in the court and so on. And then with the 1920s, with the creation of the record industry and like that technology, you had it, these like implicit racial biases in, like introduced, which is just completely insane, like to work out the demographic slots. Like complete systemic racism, it's absolutely insane. So like you had it divided up, there was like three major popular music categories. These were the ones that kind of emerged. So then you had race records, which were marked as black. You had hillbilly music, which is openly marked as white, like rural working class. And then you had pop, which was white, but they kind of unmarked it as soul. And it's just insane. I won't get into any more to that because I could be here all day. I just find it really, really interesting.
When was that? That's not current, no.
The 1920s, though, which is like, shit. You know what I mean? It's like, it was this whole thing of like trying to keep like black people out of popular music, essentially, like giving them their own category that they never viewed as like equal. And even like up as recently as 2020, though, like people have criticized that. Like, you know, the way I think Tyler, the Creator ended up. So he won for something in the Grammys in 2020. But he kind of called out the fact that they have like this urban category. So he ended up taking home Best Rap Album in 2020 for Igor, which was released in 2019. And he basically said that like he was frustrated because like he'd never be considered in the pop category, even though like if you were to listen to it, it's way more a pop record than it is like a rap record. And he said he was very grateful for his win, but he said the categorization of his music as rap is a backhanded compliment. It sucks that whenever we do, and I mean guys that look like me, do anything that's genre ending or anything, or that's anything, they always put it in a rap or urban category. Like I'm not going to say specific examples because quite frankly, I don't want to get in trouble, but there is one publication who's done something similar in Ireland where they've put like black pop artists into rap categories, even though they're not rappers. And it's just, it's not good, but it is interesting. And so I think there needs to be a wider conversation about that.
Yeah. But
anyway, back to Old Town Road. There was that whole issue there. Once he was pulled off the chart, enter Billy Ray Cyrus. He messages Lil Nas X on Twitter and says, "Been watching everything going on with Old Town Road. When I got thrown off the charts," I'm not sure of the specific example. I'm sure you can look it up. I'm sure it's easy to find. "Waylon Jennings said to me, take this as a compliment. Means you're doing something great. Only outlaws are outlawed. Welcome to the club." And then days later, we had the Old Town Road remix, which like features him. Amazing. I think elevated the song to another level, whether you like it or not. Because even if you like it from like a meme perspective, it kind of adds to the meme-y quality.
Yeah.
You have him singing about like Fendi sports bras and driving around in Maseratis, and it's just like, it's so good. I love it. Like, I think it's so fun. But I think even beyond that, it's such an earworm, as I've said already. I think it's really good.
Yeah, it did get like, I'm looking at the list of awards it either won or got nominated for, both with and without Billy Ray. I might just go through them real quickly.
Two.
Because he kind of came out of nowhere and just like swept the board and shook things up for a black gay man to do, which was really incredible. So in July 2019, Time magazine named him one of the most 25 most influential people on the internet for his global impact on social media and overall ability to drive news. That's separate, but still iconic. In late July 2019, the VMA nominations were announced and Nas X received 8. He performed at the VMAs that year. I think he did Panini. And he won Song of the Year, which he was the first LGBTQ person to do. And the videos, he won Best Direction for the video for Calmatic. Is that right? Yeah.
Could be. I'm not 100% sure.
He was nominated for 5 fan chosen 2019 Teen Choice Awards, winning Choice R&B Hip Hop Song for the Billy Ray remix of Old Town Road. And Old Town Road is also the YouTube top song of the summer in the US and over 50 other countries and territories. It was all their second top global song of the summer, which is insane. I'd love to know what bet that globally, probably some Latin music.
It's currently at 1.1 billion streams on Spotify and 693 million views on YouTube. The video was released in May. If you consider that length of time from the actual release on SoundCloud, like the way it sustained itself is just completely insane. So like the video had obviously him, Billy Ray. I mentioned that Young Keo was in it. You had like Chris Rock made a cameo, Vince Staples, Rico Nasty, Diplo, Haha Davis. And then it was just like, it was just amazing the way it kept going then. So it was like, you had, so it was like the original, then you had Billy Ray on it. Then you had a version with Young Thug and Mason Ramsey, the viral yodeling singer Walmart guy. And then you had Diplo.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it was just like, he kept adding horses to the cover of the song. And it was like, the man's going to run out of room. Like, it's just, it was incredible. It was just like, and as he, like, that feeds into the way, like, he knew, because he understood the internet, he knew how to promote that. He knew whether, like, people listen to it ironically or listen to it fully being like, oh, I absolutely love this shit, turn this shit up. Having Mason Ramsey on it is, like, marketing.
Yeah, totally.
Genius, like, total genius.
The Billy Ray remix also won a country music award. Making him the first out gay man to ever be nominated for a country music award and the only openly LGBTQ person to win, which is iconic. The same remix was nominated for a People's Choice Award for Song of the Year 2019. He was also nominated for Male Artist of 2019 at the 45th People's Choice Awards. He won Best Collab Duo or Group and Single of the Year at the BET Hip Hop Awards in 2019. He won an American Music Award for rap or hip hop song and was nominated for 4 others, including 3 for Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus. In November 2019, he was nominated for 6 Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Best New Artist, and eventually won Best Music Video and Best Pop Group or Best Pop Duo or Group Performance. And his success has caused him to become the first person of color and the first openly gay performer to be listed by Forbes in its annual highest paid country acts list, which is just like, because he just came, like, this is the song. He really, did he have any big songs before Old Town Road?
Not that I'm familiar with.
Like, was he known before Old Town Road, or did all the hits come
out? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Which is just iconic to, like, literally come out with that one hit and just sweep the board at pretty much every major award ceremony.
But then I think that was the thing then where it was like, oh yeah, one hit wonder. Like, that was it. Like, I think people were like, oh yeah, gas. But then it's like, he's gone on to surpass that so much. Because, like, obviously he released the 7 EP. You mentioned Panini. Not my fave, I'm going to be honest, of his. Insane video again and, like, very, like, really... takes a lot of heat from, like, internet culture and stuff like that. Not really my vibe. What was the other one? Rodeo, which he did with Nas, which is the most insane collab ever.
So confusing. And, the most confusing collab, probably.
And then he did Holiday, which is probably his most recent and again kind of less rap focused. You could see the kind of move there to be more.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
To kind of cross genres and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I have a bit about him coming out. Do you remember? I think the only thing I really, that stands out in my head about Lil Nas X, other than Old Town Road, is when he came out on and Twitter, the day he came out.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember it. And I do remember being like, surprised. And then having to check myself and be like, again, that's just fully your biases of the that's not a word, but like your bias of the genre and like your associations with it being like, you know what I mean? I feel like people had a similar response when like Frank Ocean kind of came out or wrote that letter about his sexuality or like having a relationship with a man.
Yeah.
And it was kind of all like clap hand to the mouth thing. And it was like, well, like actually, like why are we...
Why is this a shock to anyone? Like, why does it have to be a big...
Well, yeah. Well, like, it's not to be a thing where it's like... Because it often, I think it's significant. I think it's significant for anyone to come out and, like, you can't diminish that or, like, yeah, take that away from someone. But I think there... I think we do need to question, like, why we... Like, why we're shocked when certain people come out and, like, why we're not when others, you know? So I was kind of like, right, okay. But I think it was, like, so significant. And I think he understands the impact that it's had now. And like, will continue to have someone that's that mainstream, that successful, that significant in that specific genre, like rap and hip hop. Again, not really, that's not really seen, to be honest. And it's not really openly spoken about. And to have that kind of positive representation, I think is really, class. Really good. Obviously, yeah, really class. And I don't think, I do think he understands the impact he's had now. Like he talks about it with the release of Montero and the new music and stuff. But it's just very good. I just think it's just great. I just think it's neat, to quote Marge Simpson. I just think it's neat.
I just think it's neat. Yeah, in June 2019, he came out to his sister and father. And he felt the universe was signaling him to do so. And despite like, worrying about whether his fans would stick with him or not. So on the last day of Pride in 2019, he came out publicly as gay, tweeting, "Some of y'all already know, some of y'all don't care, some of y'all not going fuck with me no more. But before this month ends, I want y'all to listen closely to Closure," and then a rainbow, star eyes, and little star emoji. And the tweet confirmed earlier suspicions when he first indicated in the track Closure. I don't know that song, do you? But it touches on the themes of like growing up and embracing one's real self.
What is it called again? Let me Google it.
It's like C7 Osier. So the next day he tweeted again, and this time highlighting the rainbow colored building on the cover art of his EP7 with the caption reading, "Deadass thought I made it obvious." Yeah, and then in interviews ever since, he's just been like, totally clear and upfront and proud, and it's just like incredible for the platform he had to be so, just to be so positive about it. And like, I don't want to like it, I don't want to be like it could have ruined him, but like, because in 2021 I don't think it has the same effect anymore. Like, I don't think homophobia is absolutely still a thing, but I think I don't think it would have taken him down. But it's just that with the platform he had and already being a black man trying to be recognized in the music industry, to then come out as gay was just like you said.
But I think specifically within those two genres, again, like you're talking about like country music thriving on that idea of like conservatism and like the white, straight, all American man. And then again with hip hop, where it's all about like, I'm going to go fuck some broads, you know, like, and it's even, it is significant. It is major. But I think even on a personal level, as we've already said, and we'll get into Montero and Call You By Your Name and stuff, to have him explicitly say that this was something that he was with, like, that he was happy enough to go to the grave with, that he was happy to die with, that he didn't want to be, and this is his words, like, one of those gays. Like, it just goes to show that, like, the stigma he still faced, that he never wanted to be, like, this out and proud, like, flamboyant, in inverted commas, which I hate using that descriptor, but, like, that kind of way, when it was just, like, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
That's how he wants to live his life. This is how he wants to present himself. This is how he wants to dress. Like, it's not a type of gay. Like, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, and for him to not want to or feel comfortable to live like that is really sad. But to see where he is now, recognizing his growth and realizing what he can do with his platform and to be that advocate for younger people, younger LGBTQ people, is incredible.
Yeah. It kind of brings us on to like why he's been talked about at the minute.
Yes, so obviously we mentioned like he's had a couple of singles since, which like have been successful, not all to my taste, as I've said, but he's basically been teasing this particular song since, God, was it like July? Yeah, so July he released a snippet of a new song called Call Me By Your Name. And then in the meantime, I said he released Holiday. I'm reading this, it's so funny. He did a virtual concert in Roblox, which is very funny. And he released a children's book called See Us For Country as well, started this year. But anyway, this song has been talked about and he's been teasing it very, very heavily since this time, as we said. And then it came to last week and it was officially released as with the video. So the song is called Montero, open parentheses, Calling By Your Name, close parentheses. And it was first featured in a Logitech commercial during the most recent Super Bowl, as you do. But it has drawn a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Like, mainly because the music video. The song is, like, again, very catchy, under 3 minutes again. Super boppy, like, very flamenco, like, reggaeton, dipped in pop, still has that hip-hop influence as well. But the video sees him... it was directed by a Ukrainian photographer. His name is Tanu Mwino. He's also worked with Cardi B and Katy Perry. And it's basically like the psychedelic journey of a suite of characters. There's like this Garden of Eden-esque paradise where he's there and then he goes to the underworld and he becomes like, essentially, he right takes a pole devil down to the underworld. Yeah, and he gives the devil a lap dance. And he released this, and as I've kept referencing, he released this message to his 14-year-old self that connected the lyrical subject matter to his own sexuality. You can read on social media. He said, I know we promised to never come out publicly. I know we promised to never be that type of gay person. I know we promised to die with the secret, but this will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. And yeah, like, to be honest, like he did it on purpose. You know what I mean? This goes back to the thing where like he knew exactly what he was doing in releasing this and releasing it in this way. So basically, as we said, he slides down the pole straight to hell, does the lap dance with Satan, whatever.
It's a very, very raunchy.
Yeah. And you can imagine like the conservatives are crying about it. Like there was one person that said, the system is targeting kids. Lil Nas X's fan base is mostly children. They did the same thing with Miley Cyrus after Hannah Montana. He quote tweeted saying there was no system involved. I made the decision to create the music video. I am an adult. I'm not going to spend my entire career trying to cater to your children. That is your job.
The Britney thing again. I'm not here to babysit your kids.
Yeah, and then he also made a point that like this person called Joyner Lucas tweeted being like, I think the biggest problem for me is the fact he don't understand Old Town Road is every kid's anthem. Children love him for that record. And then Lil Nas X quote tweeted, which I think is an extremely fair point, saying, I literally sing about lean and adultery in Old Town Road. You decided to let your children listen. Blame yourself.
At the same time though, like I've seen so much on Twitter about this, and I think one tweet was from a lad saying, if I had had this video of someone like of Lil Nas X bottoming the devil when I was struggling with my sexuality as a teen, it would have made things so much easier. And it's just
exactly.
What you can't hide these things away. Like, there's literally fucking wet ass pussy out there, and all these like rappers, fucking bitches, all this. I sound so old, but and as soon as it's as soon as it's anything to do with like gay or queer culture, it's like, oh no, you can't do that. Think of the kids. But like, the kids are seeing it all the time anyway. Everything.
And this is what I mean, but when I say that I think he's doing it on purpose, I think he's doing it in a way that it's like this is him fully embracing his sexuality, but he's trolling people as well. Like, he fully understands troll culture. He knows what he was doing. I don't know, did you see, you know Nick Young?
No.
So he's a former NBA player. He used to go out with Iggy Azalea. Pretty sure he cheated on her. If you Google confused black guy gif, that's him. You know him. You know that gif. That's him. Chimera, it's like the guy and he's looking at it's him anyway. But basically, this was so fucking funny because like, talk about cotton 4K. But basically, he tweeted going, my kids will never play Old Town Road again. I'm still debating about wearing Nike after this. Because there was this whole thing, which we'll get into. There was this whole thing about him dropping these shoes that contain.
Is he a TV presenter?
Real Blood. Nick Young, no.
No.
Oh, there is potentially another guy called Nick. Well, maybe he is. I don't follow Nick Young, I'm going to be honest.
He looks
basically strange. He tweeted being like, my kids will never play Old Town Road again. And Lil Nas X quote tweeted that going, they shouldn't be playing Old Town Road anyway. We stream in Call Me By Your Name now. Smiley face. And then, like, Nick knew he got caught out so badly because people obviously were like, well, there was this whole thing about the shoes and like them being associated with Nike. And they're not, first of all. So then I think people were going mad about it. So he tweeted then saying he was hacked. Good one. All right, Retora. And he said, my bad at Nike. I knew y'all wasn't going out like that way. And then he said, I don't want no smoke. I'm going to say it first. I am sorry at Lil Nas X. I hope y'all believe in that kind of forgiveness. These hackers keep getting me. They need to stop. Like, are you not ashamed of yourself? Are you not embarrassed? This is really embarrassing. The Church of Satan liked it, if that's any consolation. They said...
That's all that matters.
They were all for it. So they said...
Satan himself enjoyed it.
They were like... Oh, hang on. Let me get the... Well, they wanted a pair of the shoes, but they were also like just very... They said they were very complimentary of it in terms of self-expression and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Rolling Stone did a piece where they interviewed Satanists about what they thought of the song. It's behind a paywall, so I couldn't get it. You should pay for your content, but someone send me a screenshot, please. So then let's get to the shoes, right?
Yeah, and this again
just shows that he's like, beyond being an amazing artist, an amazing representation for people, he's a marketing genius, right? So he came out and said that he was collabing with this streetwear company called Mischief, right? On these Satan shoes. They're customized Nike Air Force 97s containing a drop of human blood per pair. Only 666 pairs.
Where are they getting the blood?
Individually numbered. I think apparently it's from Mischief staff. And they have Luke. They have a Bible verse on the side of it.
You're very much just glazing over that.
Because it's not real. Like, it's not, they're not actually doing it. It's a joke. Like,
I think it's from the staff.
Oh no, like they've said it's from the staff, but like I don't believe there's blood in it. Like I do, like that's a marketing point, that's what I'm saying.
It's false advertising if it's not, so.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's a bad movie either way.
Gwyneth's candle doesn't have vagina juice in it, you know what I mean? Or whatever Gwyneth Paltrow sells.
No, but it does smell like her vagina specifically.
Well, I'm sure it smells like fucking dog shit because she's a dumb bitch anyway, but. sorry, I don't, she... Diet culture, I'm not a fan. Anyway, so these shoes were going to be sold today, as far as I'm aware, for like $1,018 to coincide with the Bible verse that went along them. Nike was not involved in the collaboration, which was the whole thing as well. Like, Nike had to come out and be like, we don't have nothing to do with that.
Mischief had on them though.
I know, because they're like, yeah, but they're not like official. It's not an official Nike release.
Okay.
Like, anyone can buy Nike Air Forces and then customize them and then resell them.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some legality thing around that, but we are not a fucking law podcast and I do not care enough. But they'd previously done these other Air Maxes that were customized that they said contained holy water drawn from the River Jordan, and they called them Jesus shoes. So maybe it is real, I don't know. But anyway, this was to coincide with the Call Me By Your Name video. And that was all. That was why Nick Young kept going on about fucking the shoes.
Where does the Jesus water go? Is it like those fish tank shoes?
The bubbles. They're in the like the their bubbles.
Okay, and there's the blood in there as well.
Yes. Okay. Nike told the New York Times, "We do not have a relationship with Lil Nas X or Mischief. Nike do not design or release these shoes, and we do not endorse them." So there you go. But again, just to go back to fucking him understanding internet culture, like he did this whole thing where like he did like that quintessential like YouTuber influencer apology video, but he did it about the shoes. It's like 50 seconds long on his YouTube channel. And when you go to watch it, it's just like, it's like, "Hey guys, so I get it's time to address," and he's holding the shoes. And then it just cuts and goes to the video of the bit where he's like dancing on Satan's lap. It's fucking because of course you're like, it was trending everywhere. Of course you're going to buy into that because you're like, haha, this is even if you're like, whether you're horrified, whether you're intrigued, whether you're in on the joke, you're talking about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's also in a way that it's like, so they feel like people rely on that tactic where it's like, as long as they're talking about you, it's grand. But the way they do it is like, it fundamentally hurts people, or like it's an attack on a community or something. Lil Nas X does it in a way that nobody's being attacked, maybe except him.
But yeah,
like it's still like you're fun. Everyone's talking about you, and it's fundamentally fun, I think.
Yeah, there's like he's if you follow his Instagram at the minute, like he's just ripping the piss out of anyone that has a bad word to say about him. He's like, if they post a picture of him, he's like, "Damn, I look good in this pic," and like just totally ignoring the abuse he's getting and focusing on just the fun of it all. Which is, I don't know how he does it.
Do you see him get back earlier this month as well at Tekashi 6ix9ine? So he's like another rapper. He's a bad man. He's Dodge. Again, I'm not even going to dedicate that much time to that. But so basically, he made like a homophobic joke about Lil Nas X, or about, yeah, at his expense on an Instagram post by someone else. So he commented, "Lil Nas X has entered the chat under a screenshotted article about China's recent decision to make COVID-19 anal swab tests mandatory for all foreigners," right?
What? Is that true?
I don't know. Again, not that podcast.
Not really.
But again, having a dig, such is the person that Tekashi 6ix9ine is. I hate him so much. Lil Nas X, again, being the person that he is and like fully able to beat the trolls at his own game. So he put up a video going, "This you," and had Call Me By Your Name as the background song. And it's him dancing to the screenshot of Tekashi 6ix9ine, like DMing him, being like, "Yo, gonna be in your city soon. What you doing, lol?" Like fully hitting him up.
Ah!
Cotton 4K. So good.
So good.
He's come out and since said that denied that he ever sent the message, and he went on and tried to be like, "Oh, my DM history is empty," whatever, blah, blah. But like, to be honest, even if it is a lie,
serves him like, right. He deserves it.
Yeah, but exactly. And this lie has traveled so far now that people believe it. So it's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, joke's on you. We spoke about this on the Billy episode. What's next for him?
Why would we speak about this on the Billy episode?
Or I meant like in relation to Billy. I think they're kind of like two similar artists in the sense that like...
Yeah, they came out of nowhere and kind of blew the charts.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And it was like this big, so like these big social media people and whatever. And I suppose there was that assumption with Lil Nas X that he was going to be a flash in the pan. That clearly isn't the case. What's he going to do next?
What is he going to do next? I think he's going to keep on trolling. I think he's going to keep trying, because he understands how Twitter works. I don't think he's going to play it safe. I think he's going to keep on like doing things on the line, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. She's no reason to. Like it's
not like, like you said, he's not hurting anyone.
He succeeded in what he's doing. So I think he's just gonna like, it's not gonna stop. He's here to stay, and I'm happy about it. I love him. I would go see him live. I'm obsessed with his fashion.
Yes, his fashion is iconic.
He loves a print.
Where does he
loves outfits? Leather. I regularly think about the outfit that he wore to the Grammys, which I'm pretty sure was the 2020 Grammys. No, that was to the VMAs, I think.
I can think of the green one.
The green one was divine, but we'll put this up on Instagram as well because it's just so good. It's like pink and like leather.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just very, and like kind of bondage-y.
I wish you'd put that up on Depop so you could wear it to the live show.
Oh, don't talk to me. It's all I want. I mean it when I say it, just I think about it so regularly, like so regularly.
I believe that.
It's head to toe what I am gonna wear to the live show. Like, I'll make it happen. He's not gonna put on Depop, but I'll make it happen. That is it. As always, if you have any thoughts about Lil Nas X, let us know. Any other fun facts? Have you met him? Have you been in his DMs? We'd be very interested to hear. He's not going anywhere. That's the bandwagon's conclusion. He is here to motherfucking stay, and we're happy about it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mini bandwagons, Breach.
Sure thing, Fionnuala. So I tend to look up what's coming to Netflix. Usually for a mini bandwagon, and on April 1st, Shrek 1, 2, and Shrek the Musical are being added to Netflix. I know they're probably already on Disney Plus. But the musical, this is a big thing because the musical, like, it's very hard to get musicals on streaming platforms because once you see it, like, why would you pay to go see it live? So,
is this the actual musical? This isn't like a movie or what? How do you mean?
That's what I took from it. Maybe I need to Google that.
I think you might need to.
I was like, I want to see Amanda Holden in a wig.
No, Breed, I don't.
Shrek the Musical, Netflix. No, why would they have a Shrek the Musical and also a movie called Shrek the Musical?
That's true, yeah.
And no, it's the Tony Award winning. Okay, I can't click into it because it's going to bring me to Netflix, but it says 2 hours, 10 minutes, music musicals, the greatest fairy tale never told comes to life in this colourful, song-filled, Tony Award winning ellipsis. The Broadway production is being released on the UK streaming platform for the first time.
Oh, great. Okay, that's weird. Because to be honest, when I saw it, I was like, that's
the only reason I'm excited about it, because I've never seen this. I've never heard the songs. Sutton Foster is the lead. I love Sutton Foster.
When I saw that, I was like, one, why didn't they get 3 and 4? I know they're terrible, but like, why could they not get them? But
I think they usually have them. Sutton Foster is, if you've seen, she's like a big, big musical gal, she's playing Fiona. She was in the Gilmore Girls reboot with her ex-husband Christian Borle, I think is his name, and they do like the whole Stars Hollow musical. They are iconic, and that whole episode is iconic, but she is amazing. If you look up, she sings Anything Goes. I have that on my musicals playlist. I'm obsessed. I can't wait for that now.
That is very exciting. So that's coming on April 1st, Shrek the Musical.
Yeah, no joke. Thriftify, do you want to talk about Thriftify?
I love Thriftify. Yes, I do. So Thriftify is basically an online charity shop. They take a lot of the stuff that would obviously be in charity shops. Charity shops aren't open at the time right now with COVID. So you can get like clothes, you can get books, DVDs, CDs and vinyls, bric-a-brac, PC and video games, you can get gift cards.
I love bric-a-brac.
It's very good. They're actually doing a thing at the minute. Even if you didn't particularly want to buy something, or maybe you're not in a position to buy, if you're looking from inspo, they're doing the thrift off with our gals at formerly called Sustainable Fashion Dublin. They're called the Uses Project now. And if you watch their stories, they've basically gotten people to get pieces off the site and like style them. It's really, really cool. But if you're to buy on the site, you're supporting such a wide range of charities. So like you're talking about a new Jack and Jill, Madra, To Children with Love, Self Help Africa, Never Too Old, Cope Galway, loads and loads and loads and loads. And it's class. And I got like, now I did have a voucher, obviously I will say, but I got 3 class bits from there that I love that I needed for my wardrobe. And I just can't recommend it highly enough, especially if you're like missing charity shops, you know, just scratch that itch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that is Thriftify.ie. Yeah.
Also, a special shout out to Grace O'Malley, the whiskey and gin provider. They sent us whiskey for, I think it was International Women's Day. And I only got around to trying it last weekend on Friday. I made whiskey sours, and it is the nicest smelling whiskey I've ever smelled. I'm genuinely not saying this because like I've nothing to lose here, but like we love their gin already. So like we were kind
their gin got me back into drinking gin, I will say. I haven't tried the whiskey yet, so I'm going to refrain from giving any comment, but
the whiskey is just like, it I usually recoil from whiskey. You can smell this. It's so nice.
Very smooth.
So smooth. I had a bit of it just like on its own. So yummy.
Jesus, here she is drinking it neat.
I know. Neat. I couldn't even remember the word. But yeah, would recommend if you're looking for a nice whiskey and maybe you're not a big fan of whiskey, but you'd like to get into it. I think this is the one. We love it. And also a special shout out to Seema for her new music video. I'm kind of obsessed with it. I can't stop watching
it. Not Alive, featuring friend of the podcast, Dove Songs.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dove Songs.
Happy birthday, Dove Songs, from The Shard. he'll be on at some stage. Yeah. Watch a space. We're hoping to get Seema as well for the music interview series.
Absolutely. We've a list as long as my
We haven't asked her or anything yet, but I'm sure she will. But she's just very busy at the moment. We'll get her on.
Yeah. I bought her a new vinyl and I'm excited for it to arrive. Half because her songs are incredible and half because the vinyl is going to look so incredible in my room. Yeah, it's going to be, I can't wait to display it.
Me and Kane went halves on it, so it's currently in Kane's house. So.
Oh, we have, go for it.
I was just going to say, I watched Jews and the Black Messiah. That was my mini one wagon. It's incredible. It's what's so that? Good. It's like Daniel Kaluuya, Lakeith, what's his second name? It's basically all about this guy who's like an FBI, Lakeith Stanfield. He is, he's amazing. They're both up for Oscars for it, but it's basically talking about this guy who basically acted as a rat on the Black Panther Party in Chicago. I can't remember the year, but very, very good if you're like ignorant to that part of history, which I was and I shouldn't have been. But like just incredible performances. I fancy Lakeith so much. He would be in...
I kind of love the name Lakeith.
He's in Get Out. He's done like a lot of these, and he's in Uncut Gems. He's been in like these kind of smaller roles, and he's acted the fucking hell out of him. So it's great to see him get this like very top level role and to get recognized for it. It's very frustrating that they're both nominated in the best Oscar category for best actor, but I do think it's fair because like neither of them are kind of supporting actor. Like they're both leads and they're both incredible. But I just want both of them to win. But that's not
maybe they'll do a RuPaul on it and give them both. Give everybody a trophy.
I don't think so now, but we can live in hope. Jesse Plemons is in it as well. It's just very good. It's on, you like rent it. So it's on like your video on demand. So if you have Sky, which is like a pain in the hole, but you need sports cinema girls. Okay. So
is it new? It.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think it's only out like the last 2 weeks on stream services here. I think it's been out maybe in America a while or something. I don't know what the Americans are doing, but yeah. One to watch, Judas and the Black Messiah. Defo.
Cool. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up. We've an episode with Tim Chadwick coming this week. We have resolved our beef, and that is happening. So stay tuned for that. Go for it.
I was just going to say, patrons get first listen. So if you want to sign up, do that, and you'll get all of our lovely bonus content as well. What are we doing this week?
We're doing a live off the wagon is what we
said. Yeah, I think it's going to be an off the wagon little Zoom-a-loom. Good Friday, more like Grey Friday, am I right? We don't know if it's going to be Good Friday. Maybe don't take our word for that on that, but we are going to be drinking this weekend, basically. And we'll all drink together, it'll be a laugh. What was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah, so you get that for, how much is our Patreon a month? Four.
It is €5 a month. If you want to just support us and you don't have a fiver and you don't need the extra content, you can just give us €2 a month in the tip jar. But most people tend to go for the five and get all the really cool extras.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, as always. We are
plugging away here. We've a very exciting event coming up. Not really, on virtual event coming up.
Next
month. But I'm going to hold off until we know more details to announce it. But it's coming. Big things coming. We've really cool guests lined up and that's about it. So we need to iron out the rest of the details and then we'll come back to you.
Oh my god, Vic is just after announcing Bibbidi Bamboo Lash and Lawrence Cheney
together.
Yeah, and Chase and Ahura. Horny.
Send that to me right now.
Oh, sorry. Do you know what I actually will give an honorable mention to as well for Mini Bandwagons? The latest episode of Petty Little Things is so fucking funny. The interview that Victoria Secret and Davina Devine did with James Patrice. It's a very feel-good listen, I will say. I could listen to James Trees talk about anything. And the girls are just great, as always. I don't need to say that about my good Judy's. So go check them out. And they've only recently started a Patreon as well. So if you can't support them, especially considering their industry has been fucking destroyed by COVID. Give the drag queens your money is what I'm saying.
Our shows are still on sale. Dublin and Cork, still tickets there if you want them. So many people are coming that I've gotten in touch, and we are so excited to see all your faces. The dress code is Space Cowgirl, so or boy. So do with that what you will. Maybe we might wear obnoxious cowboy hats in case people in front of you can't see behind you.
We will be wearing obnoxious cowboy hats. So we might have a theme picked for one of them. No, we do have a theme picked for one of them. But what date? Who knows? We do. You texted me about it the other day.
Was it Space Cowgirl? Because I just said
no for one of the topics. Sorry, I should say.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I have all of them picked. I just haven't told. I'm drip feeding you.
Oh great. Okay. Great. We are ever on social media, Bandwagons Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. Follow us on Spotify to keep up to date with the latest episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, only if they're nice. And we will see you next week. I've been Fionnuala.
I've been Breed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.